I want to start the talk today with something that seems and is very simple, that is the population distribution. With this map, the first thing that you can see, of course, is that the population distribution is extremely uneven on the surface of the Earth, and that, in my opinion, has a direct influence in the exposure, not as much as vulnerability so far, but exposure to everything that has to do with environment and particularly to climate change and the impacts of climate change. One of the things that is very obvious is the concentration of population in Asia and in some of the countries in Africa, particularly in India and in China. But because of the resolution of the map, it's not so easy to see the other kind of concentration, that is the concentration in a specific area that are the cities. And that's another important characteristic of the distribution of the population currently, that is the growing urbanization trends. The fact that around 2008, according to the UN, we crossed the divide and started to be a more urban society globally, because more than 50% of the population of the world was living in an area denominated as urban. That changed from country to country, but there is certain densities issues that are common. The developing countries are urbanizing at a very, very fast pace, and there is a lot of unevenness on that too, but you can see that some of the red dots that represent cities of 10 million or more are located in the developing world, mostly in Asia. Asia is a country, the continent that is urbanizing at a very high pace, but Africa is close to that. The distribution of population in any given moment of time is going to be the result of underlying processes. So it has to do with how habitable the area is in terms of resources and in terms of climate or in terms of topology or topography, if you want. It also has a history of settlement behind that. So there is an historical trend that also is influencing where people are in this particular moment. And very important at the local level is that population distribution is the outcome of the interplay of the three demographic processes of fertility, mortality, and migration. This particular map, what is showing is the changes in population density between 1990 and 2005. These increases and decreases are happening all over the world, not only in developing areas, it's also in developed areas. And the three processes that we just mentioned are behind this. Particularly migration is the one that is the quickest response to any change in underlying condition and is going to result in a very quick difference in population density in a short, relatively short term that could be 10 years or 15 years. However, particularly in terms of the urbanization, the first urbanization wave has to do with the movement of people from the rural areas to the urban areas. But even migration, as in an area or a country or a continent advancing the urban transition, migration starts to be less important, particularly migration from rural to urban areas. The migration between urban areas start to be more and more important. And a certain level, like when an area is 80% or 90% urban, the natural increase of the urban areas started are more important than the migration flows that were the origin of that particular urbanization trend. So the different processes at different point in the transition or the development included have different meanings, and all of them are important. But migration has also a very important relevance in terms of concentrating people in the short time. This particular map is an experiment that we did to see if it was possible to map at the global level net migration. Net migration is only the difference between in-migration and out-migration in a certain area. So as the population transition and the urban transition advance, people start moving around, and when they are doing this, they start moving also between and within different ecosystems. So certain ecosystems, in this case, you can see in the west of Africa, and particularly in the case of Mexico, the dry ecosystem usually are losing population, and the coastal ecosystem, where most of the urban areas are increasingly having more and more immigration. This is showing the net migration between 1990 and 2000 only. Because this capacity of migration of moving people around and moving people between ecosystems that could be more proclive to impact or ecosystems that could be more fragile than others to the impact of climate change, is that we can say that migration has a role in changing the vulnerability of places. So this is what's happening. The geography of vulnerability is changing because of the effect of the high migration, the high mobility of the population that is happening now. That is one of the global processes recognized as contributing to globalization. Now, it's already known there's a fair amount of projects and studies that are looking at climate migration as a response to environmental impact, particularly the impact of climate change. Now, the problem is how to determine the relevance or the exact weight of the environmental factors when you are looking at environmental migration and particularly to the impact of climate change. There's numbers outside. None of those numbers has any kind of agreement at all. And there's more and more discussion about how exactly to improve the methodologies and the data that you are using in order to have some kind of scenarios or projection about what the future climate migration could look at. And the effect of climate change could be direct or could be indirect. So it could be the effect directly on livelihoods, or it could be through some other kind of social network, could be an impact on the community that lately translate to impact into the different household and individual. So the impacts of climate change are complex and could be, as I mentioned, direct and indirect. There is another type of mobility that is displacement, that is more related to disasters. And it's something that is happening now, and every time that there is a disaster, it could be climate disaster or any other kind of disaster. Displacement tend to be temporary, and people return to the places at least there is some catastrophic changes. But studies on Katrina have showed that return is always selective, as migration is selective. So return of displacement also is something that is being studied with more detail. This effect of climate change on mobility also has a differential effect on cities, and but two different reasons. In the current migration system, the cities are the areas of destination. Most of these urban areas are areas that are increasing, as we saw in the map, the population because of immigration. If this is the case, any effect outside the cities that is affecting the areas of origin is going to increase the flow of people into the cities. At the same time, we also saw that a lot of the cities are on the coast, and coast could be affected not only for sea level rise, that is a low, very slow onset event, but also for storm surge coming from increasing frequency of hurricanes or increasing number of storms. And in that case, being the site of migration, that could be secondary migration, or also the fact that cities could start being areas of out-migration because of the effect of climate change. Migration could be defined in many ways. It doesn't need to be a very long movement. It's just that people that is in areas that are exposed during the city are moving outside the city or other areas within the same city. I just talk about selectivity. Migration, as I mentioned, is a very selective process affecting mostly young men and women, more educated relative to other parties, and better off, relatively speaking, in terms of the rest of the population in the area where they are living. That means that when people move, they are taking their characteristics with them, and they are changing the characteristics of areas of origin and areas of destination. One has to do with the selectivity of the flows. The other has to do with where migrants set within the urban areas. And in some cases, that could increase spatial segregation, that some studies are related more and more to enhanced vulnerability when disasters occur, particularly recent migrants that are more likely to have less connections. But these flows are also changing the characteristics of the areas of origin in terms of the structure of opportunities that are available there, and in also in terms of the composition of the population that is left behind or decided just to stay. The good news, for at least for our community, is that more and more studies are dealing with migration and climate change. This is showing just the number of articles on migration and climate change in the Web of Knowledge, that mostly peer review journal. And you look at 2003, that's when I finished my dissertation, that was exactly on migration and environment. And in 2012, we are order of magnitude, even if this is small, comparing with other, in terms of publication and in terms of research, and specifically about the data availability, that means that there's more input for policy. We still need to be more proactive in how to make that usable for the rest of the communities. And with that, I just want to mention some of the research gaps that I consider that are important. There is a lot of discussion in terms of methodology and new conceptual framework, especially recognizing how complex this situation is and how this has to be an interdisciplinary issue that cannot be led only to demographers to deal with. But at the same time, what is happening, because there are more interest in the topic, that the data issues started to be very, very important. Migration already have this kind of cloud that being a very difficult issue because the data is not available, simply not there. These two quotes from the GeoFive as one of the very, very weak link in terms of data availability. There are more sources of data, but there's still a lot to do in order to make them comparable and specifically to make them integrated with the other kind of data that you need in order to model climate migration as response to impact of climate change. The other is georeference data. Everything that has to do with environment, in my opinion, has to be studied using some kind of georeference data. You have to go to space and start putting things together over there, particularly for exposure. There is a lot of advances on this, but there's still more that has to be done. Thank you.